brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and should I say welcome to Ash Wednesday? This is a season of penance, but it's the penance, it's the asking for forgiveness that leads to life. So it actually is one marvelous day. It's just that it's hard for us to face our sin, isn't it? It's hard for us to take an honest look at ourselves. So my suggestion to you is don't do it alone. I spoke to you yesterday, and many of you, if you did not hear yesterday's program, please go on the internet, renewalministries.net, then Food for the Journey, and listen to yesterday's program, because I really would like to see, I'm proposing, that this be a Lent like no other Lent, that you really do take a look at one area of sin. You can decide, but one area of sin. Let's get to the root of it. Let's see what captures you, and let's watch God's action in your life. You're going to see it when we bring before him, and that's why I'm saying here on Ash Wednesday, just take one area of sin. One area that's a habit, that's a pattern of sin, not something you just did once, but it's a habit. And bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be set free in this area. Think about it. Decide it. Then take a concordance, that is a list of the words from the Bible. They're in the back of many Bibles, or you can go online and just put the word you want, the word that expresses that sin. And then look up the scripture passages that refer to that particular sin, that particular weakness. And what does God say about them? Copy them. Begin to learn them. Some of them memorize. And ask God every day, Lord, free me from this sin. I repent of it. I'm sorry for it. Free me from this sin. And then meditate on the scriptures, because God doesn't want to just see you forgiven of a particular sin. He wants to see you set free from the shackles, the leg irons, the handcuffs that sin imposes on us. God wants to see you free of all that. So our first reading today is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. In other words, don't just do exterior things. Rend your hearts. In other words, break open your heart before God and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. God's going to bless you. He's not just going to forgive you your sin when we admit it. He's going to forgive you. He's going to bless you. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Proclaim a fast. Call an assembly. Gather the people. Notify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Our God should be known, brothers and sisters, by our thoughts, our words, our actions. People should know the one we worship. And sin blinds us and deafens us. You want to get rid of it like it's a cancer. You want to get rid of it as quickly as you possibly can. Don't be afraid. Don't say, oh, I've wished I could overcome that sin years ago, but I gave up. Don't do that. Just come to him and say, here it is, Lord, and I beg for your power and mercy. So often we try to do it on our own. Don't. Lord, I beg for your power. I beg for grace. I beg for your mercy. God will not disappoint you. And the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. So as a people, we're coming before the Lord today. As a people, we're saying, Lord, we have sinned against you. we have fallen short of the glory of God. And then we take a look, especially, confess all your sin, but we're going to take a particular sin and make it an area during the whole of Lent to see if God will help us, which of course he will, to break its hold on us, to break its power. Don't try to, yes, ask forgiveness, as I've said before, ask forgiveness for all your sin, absolutely. But let's bring before the Lord one particular area of our life, the one that perhaps cripples us the most, the one who makes us do what we don't want to do, the one who causes us to feel hopeless, ashamed, fearful, angry, bitter. What's that area? You might say, well, there's a lot of them. Take one of them. Don't try to take the whole thing. Just take one area. Take a look at it today. And then offer it to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me and set me free. The responsorial psalm is from Psalm 51. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Many of you listen to this program regularly know that's one of my favorite psalms in all of Scripture. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and from my sin cleanse me. This is what God wants to do for us. For I acknowledge my offense. We need to say it outright. And my sin is before me always, but against you only have I sinned. It's God that I've really sinned against. I may sin against people, and for that I need forgiveness, absolutely. But every sin we commit is also an offense against God. We wound God in a certain sense. We were made in his image and likeness, and sin causes that to be very deformed. A clean heart create for me, O God. A steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. Make Psalm 51 a psalm that you pray every day during Lent. It's a suggestion. You can choose another. But have a psalm that you really learn, that you meditate on. Psalm 51 is certainly good for Lent. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, to chapter 6, verse 2. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I heard you. Right now is an acceptable time, and he's hearing us. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. It was I who saved you. It was I who set you free. That's your God. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So today is the day. Don't let it go. Don't say, oh yeah, I'll think about that sometime during Lent when I have time. No, now, today. Think this through. What's the area of sin that most impedes me? God, will you help me? Look up the scriptures that will help you to reflect on this area. I'm going to say a lot more about what you can read during Lent that will be helpful to you as well. But for today, make the decision. What's the area of sin that I really seek to be free from? And I give it to the Lord today. And I pray Psalm 51 today. And then tomorrow, we talk about how we live it out. Make your decisions today. That's very important for the remainder of Lent. And the gospel is Matthew 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. We do this for God, not to show ourselves as holy to anybody else. Just do them quietly. in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. And when you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. In other words, you don't give alms and then pat yourself on the back and tell yourself all day how wonderful you are. You give alms and then you look around for somebody else to serve. You forget about yourself, and that's hard. That takes a lot of practice, so don't be surprised by how many times you intrude. It's me, it's for me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. It's in us. Just keep batting it away, and eventually it will go. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. So in everything, brothers and sisters, even all our good deeds, it still can be focused on us. And this is the scripture that's telling us we need to pray differently. When you pray, you go to your inner room. You close the door and pray to your Father in secret. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they've already received their reward. They wouldn't bathe, they wouldn't shave, they wouldn't cut their hair. They just looked horrible. And that was the sign to everybody else that they were fasting, so everyone else could think that they were marvelous and holy. And Jesus says, no. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. Your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. Do good deeds for the right reasons. Don't blow your horn. Don't blow trumpets. Don't tell other people. Don't pat yourself on the back. Just say, Lord, I do this for you. I do it out of love for you. May I find you in the poor. May I find you in the lonely. May I find you in the sick. May I find you in the discouraged. May I find you in the angry and the bitter. May I look for you and find you. Get your thoughts off yourself. Unite your thoughts with Christ. And as you reach out, as you serve, as you go about your work during this season, always be asking, Lord, how can I serve you here? What can I do for you here? In these circumstances, in this situation, how can I serve? As you do that, brothers and sisters, honestly, if you do it every day, your orientation will begin to shift. The focus, at least a little bit, will get off you and onto others and hopefully onto the very face of God. May God bless this season for all of us. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.